the singing of our theme song, Back to the Blessed Old Bible, we introduce another Way of Truth broadcast. We're thankful that you are tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, and this is Alan A. Craig speaking. Our Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for the privilege we have of sharing the gospel with this precious people today, and we're trusting that the Holy Spirit will be able to use us to make it a blessing to each one in our congregation. I know that you see each one, you love each one, you are concerned for each one. So minister to our congregation today and make our broadcast a blessing to their hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once I was bound by sin, falling fetters, sin I was saved by struggle and pain. But I received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful freedom.
That's more than just a song. That is a biblical fact. For Jesus said, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Isaiah the prophet prophesied, and Jesus read that prophecy as recorded in the book of Luke, that whenever he came, he would open the prison house. He would set the captives free, and he would give deliverance to those that were bound. And that is the message of the gospel, the good news, that you can be free from sin. No, you don't have to live in sin more or less every day in word, deed, and thought. You have victory over sin because Christ is reigning within, and he gives you the power that you need to say no to sin and yes to God.
Redeemed, I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Subject for today's broadcast, Are You Ready? Our text of scripture, Matthew 24, verse 44a. Therefore, be ye also ready. The Bible has a great deal to say about readiness, getting ready, being ready, staying ready. First of all, we serve a ready God. Ready to pardon. Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17. Ready to forgive. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Psalm 86 and 5. Ready to save. The Lord was ready to save me. Isaiah 38 and 20. So we see that it is people who need to be persuaded, not God. God is willing, able, and ready to save anyone and everyone who will sincerely seek him. We need to be thankful that he is a God who's always ready. When one desires the forgiveness of sins, we don't need to wait for God to be ready. No, God is already ready. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. We need to be reconciled to God and not Him to us. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We were the ones that went astray. We were the ones that left God and entered into a life of sin. And we are the ones that needs to come to God. Seek the Lord with all your heart, and you will find Him. So God needs not to be reconciled to us, but we need to be reconciled to Him. We ought to be thankful to God that He is always ready, and He is a ready God. Now, we need to be ready to hear. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Ecclesiastes 5 and 1. Be sure that your worship is true and not based on error. God rejected Cain's offering because sin lieth at the door. God only accepts true worship. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Matthew 15 and 9. There's much worship going on in the world today, not only as far as other religions, but even among the supposed Christian religion, there are many that are worshiping, and they are worshiping in vain. Jesus told the woman at the well in Samaria, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we need to worship God from the heart and in the spirit. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we read in James chapter 1 and verse 22. When we do not hear and do what God has said, we become fools before God. But if we will worship Him in sincerity, in spirit, and in truth, then our worship will be acceptable to Him. The Word itself is the standard by which we are saved, and by which we worship, and will be our judge when the judgment day comes. Receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. James chapter 1 and verse 21. We need to be ready to give a correct answer. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of a reason of a hope that is in you, with meekness and with respect. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. We must study the Word of God and be acquainted with its teachings and the truth of the gospel to be able to give an answer to every man that asketh of the hope that lieth within us. We don't need to give a foolish answer. We need to know what the Word of God teaches. We need to know what hope we really have. And we need to be able to give that answer to anyone who asketh of us of the hope that lieth within us. God must be first in our own heart. When He is, He will be gladly give an answer. We will be gladly to give an answer for the reason of the hope that we have. We answer not with a no-so attitude, know-it-all, no, but with meekness and with respect. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. So Peter wrote in 2 Peter, or Paul rather, wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. So we are to give an answer to everyone that asketh of us the hope that lies in us, and we are to do it with a servant attitude, a gentle and a meek attitude, not a know-it-all attitude, but with an attitude of humility, so that we can convince others of the reality of the hope that lies within us. Now, we are to be ready to every good work. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1. We read in this book of Titus, here in 2 Timothy, or 2 chapter of Titus, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, and to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. So I say we need to study and to know the Scriptures to be able to answer those who would ask us of the hope that we have within our heart. And we are to be good and do good, for we are ready to be ready to every good work. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Titus 3 and 1. Now, we also need to be able to persuade people. We need to persuade people to be ready for the Lord. And that's not an easy thing to do in the world in which we are living today, with so much evil, so much corruption, so much false religion, and so much false worship. But we need to be able, through the study of the Word, through being convinced of the truth, we need to be able to persuade others to be ready to meet the Lord. Our text speaks of the coming destruction of Jerusalem, when it said, "Be ye also ready," and how the saints should be ready to flee out of the city to the mountains when they saw certain signs a-coming. They obeyed, and none of them were left in the city. None of them died in the city. According to historians, not one Christian died in the city. But the multitude of people did the very opposite of what Jesus said. He told them not to flee into the city, and that's exactly what multitudes did. And multitudes perished there in the city of Jerusalem when the Romans besieged Jerusalem. Some of them were killed, some of them died of starvation, and they fought among themselves and destroyed a lot of the food that they had. And so many died, they threw them over the walls of the city, and they were not ready. But those who really knew God, knew the Lord, and knew His teachings obeyed his word, and they fled out of the city and out of their homes and went to the mountains. And again, the historians tell us not one Christian died in the city of Jerusalem. Now, Jesus is coming again. Now, that particular text that we've used today was not talking about the second coming of Christ. It was talking about his coming through the Roman army to destroy the city. But Jesus Christ is coming again. He told the disciples that he must go away, but I will come again. And so the time will come when time will be no more. Time will end. We are told in the book of 1 Corinthians 15 by the Apostle Paul that whenever the end comes, Christ will come. And whenever Christ comes, the end will come. And he will come not to set up a literal kingdom, as so many people teach and believe today. Christ will come to judge the world in righteousness. As we read in Matthew chapter 25, he'll come and he'll gather all nations together and he'll separate them from one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. The goats will be on the left-hand side and the sheep will be on the right-hand side. And Jesus will say to those on the right-hand side, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But he'll say to those on the left-hand side, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So there will come a time when time will be no more, and Christ will come, and he'll come not to set up a kingdom, I say, but to judge the world in righteousness. And so we need to be ready. Every one of us needs to be ready to meet the Lord in peace, whether he comes in death or whether he comes for us at the end of time. We need to be ready. Doubtless, most all, if not all, who are listening to this broadcast today will meet their death before Christ comes. But nevertheless, he's coming either in death for us or else he's coming to meet us and to judge us as the scriptures teach. Let each one of us ask ourselves, am I ready? The Lord is ready to forgive, and who are not ready? If you are not ready, you need to get ready, for you do not know when there will be time no more. No, you do not know. I know there have been people who made foolish statements that he was coming in their lifetime, and even some set the date and so on and so forth. They're just showing their spiritual ignorance when they do that. We don't know when Christ is coming. We don't really know when death is coming. But we know that it is appointed unto men once to die, and we also know that Christ said he would come again. And before him will be gathered all nations, and they shall give an account of the life that they have lived. According to Revelation chapter 20, when we stand before the Lord in judgment, the earth will have passed away, and there will be no place for it. And we'll stand before the Lord in judgment, and we'll give an account to him. And if our name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will be cast into the lake of fire. How do we get our name in the Lamb's Book of Life? By being saved, by being a Christian, and by living a righteous and a godly life. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a separate people zealous of good works. Are you ready for death? Are you ready for the second coming of Christ? You need to be if you are not. And Jesus Christ made it possible for us to be ready. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing these thoughts with our precious congregation today. And if there be those listening to us who are not ready to meet the Lord in peace, may you speak to their hearts. May the Holy Spirit convict and may he draw precious souls, for we know that you are ready to save any who will call upon thee in sincerity. So bless this broadcast, bless the thoughts that have been presented, and deal with each heart according to their need, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust the thoughts and the scriptures have been a blessing to you. If so, it would be an encouragement to us to know. And our postal address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. And our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. We invite you to go to our webpage where you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. Also, you can join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service is held 20 minutes, or begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. And our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Avinay Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today. We appreciate each one of you, and we trust that you'll arrange to be with us next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.
I'm just a weary pilgrim, traveling through this world of sin, getting ready for that meeting when the saints go marching in.
Oh, when the saints, oh, when the saints go marching in,
go marching in. Marching in,
hallelujah.
Oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Just a few more days to travel, just a few more days to roam, then I'll enter heaven's portals when the saints are gathered home.
Oh, when the saints,
oh, when the saints
go marching in,
go marching in.
Oh, when the
saints go marching in.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
There's a place that He's prepared us if we journey to the end. Then a crown of life He'll give us when the saints go marching in.
Oh, when the saints,
oh, when the saints
go marching in,
go marching in.
Oh, when the
saints go marching in.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in.
Oh,
Lord, I want
that number when the saints go marching.